Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Fairbanks City Council work session. This Tuesday, March 4th at 2025. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Cleworth? Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Ms. Therrien?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
Mayor Prus?
Here. Okay, first item up is Ordinance 6311, Ordinance ratifying the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Fairbanks and the Public Safety Employees Association, advanced from the March 10th meeting where we had the first reading. Any discussion on that? Ms. Sprinkle?
I would just like to say that we got something from Margarita, and maybe she could talk to us.
Ms. Bell, would you bring us through this, please?
Yes, good morning, everyone. At the last work session, I was given a question, what would that cost be? The city should anticipate is the last part of the fiscal note. It says the city should anticipate additional costs for overtime leave liability and workers' compensation. So I gave you some estimates based on our current rates and workers' compensation, what that would look like. Taking the current liability and their new rates, what that increase would be, and taking a look at their overtime in 2024 and calculating it based on their new rates. So that's the information you have before you, and the total is $391,500. Of course, this is an estimate based on 2024. 2025 might look very different.
Council, I'd like to point out that for the first time ever in the history of Fairbanks, we're seeing a contract with a cost increase in 1 year over $1 million. And I'd also like to point out for the first time ever, it's over $500,000. But we planned for this in our budgeting in November and December. And your motives were not only the police, but the FECC, and getting them up to a pay standard that was needed. And we budgeted for it, it's available, and it was bargained. And here we are. Ms. Therrien.
Margarita, is the $391,500 included in the financial detail, or is that on top of it?
That's on top of it.
So I'm confused as to why the fiscal note doesn't already include that.
The reason why it doesn't include these amount, you're looking at what's happening in the general fund. Your workers' compensation is going to happen in your risk fund, and the leave liability happens in the compensation fund. So you have two different funds involved. The overtime, we did estimate what some portions of that might be influenced, and that depends on the work schedules, whether or not you have additional staff hired. That number is very fluid.
Ms. Ringstad.
So the increased cost of the city isn't 1.2, it's more like 1.7.
Yes, it could be.
Well, we know we're going to pay the workers' comp.
These are estimates. Estimates of if things happen the way they are at this point in time as of 2024.
Well, the leave time was probably pretty accurate. The workers' comp, are those claims or is that just the amount we set aside for that?
That would be your risk. You pay per hour.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's pretty well set.
Yeah.
So the overtime is the big ticket, but it's just a matter of how much overtime.
Correct.
So,
you know, for their department being down in personnel, and we don't have with them mandatory overtime, they average about 12 to 14% per year, and we budget for them about 20% per year in overtime. And that was a very surprising revelation to me this last year. Yeah. Yeah, this is right up top, 20%.
Were they not at $500,000 this year for overtime?
Yes, they ended the year a little over 500,000.
Any further discussion? Ms. Sprinkle.
So as I recall, I can't find my notes right now. The number we were looking at was 1.2 anyway about their contract, and we had 400 some thousand dollars left over to play with in our budget. So we're now going to give 260,000 of it to overtime. I mean, we're getting skinny. We have it, I think, is what I'm hearing you say.
The 258,100 is will not be budgeted.
It's in coming out of general fund, right?
Yeah. Yes, but it is an estimate based on prior year activity. That activity may or may not happen in 2025.
So I don't need to worry about it in my formula.
No.
Okay,
that's why it is not added at the top of your fiscal note. It is an estimate that might or might not happen depending on how much you have in staff.
Mr. Ringstead.
Yes, I look at it as if it's coming out of the city's coffers, it's something we ought to worry about. I mean, it may or may not happen. Well, fire department may or may not spend $2 million too, but we plan for it. But I think, effectively, if this happens, then Sue's right. We've spent just about all the 400,000 we had left over. And we've got different pots of money, but it's all the same city.
Any other discussion? Mr. Sanders.
Just a couple things. One thing is, if we get to the point where police is full up and they hire 9 more people and we end up not having the salary savings for overtime, I would be happy to have that problem and figure that out.
I concur with that.
Yeah. The other thing. This is I wasn't anticipating this, but the other thing is we did have a meeting yesterday, and I am like this. I thought this was smooth sailing for the rest of the this is just going to go through, no issues, because they already voted on it. But we found out yesterday that they have a fundamental. Some of them have a fundamental misunderstanding of FLSA. They think that it's additional overtime, not an exemption for police officers. So I have a meeting with them on Thursday, and I'm hoping that it'll be resolved pretty easily. I kind of see where they got that misunderstanding. If we had done the 12-12-10, then pretty most anything outside their scheduled time would have been overtime, and it would hit FLSA because it would have hit FLSA and blah blah blah. But since we're not doing that, they're not gonna hit their FLSA overtime. But they think that they get overtime for anything over 40 hours, and they think that they get overtime for FLSA, and that's not how FLSA works. So I just wanted to give you that there is, because I know that a lot of you talk to the members over there, so they're probably gonna be a little disgruntled when they realize that it's not an additional overtime. It's changing it from overtime starting at 40 hours, anything after 40 hours, for police officers, it's overtime starts at 42.75 hours a week.
So. Ms. Sprinkle.
Mike, I'm sorry, did I misunderstand you to say that they might be disgruntled about that? I'm sorry, what did you say?
There's some of them that thought that it was an additional overtime.
That they were hoping for it, is that what you're saying?
Right, okay. Right. That's not the way it reads in the contract. I went over about a billion times yesterday, so did Margarita, so did Chief. I was not anticipating that anybody would read it that way. So.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Mr. Marnie.
Is this a negotiating team that's disgruntled?
No, we found out through the grapevine that folks thought that they were getting additional overtime.
Well, most of that staff's been there for a few years. I mean,
they've never had FLSA before. That's never been in the contract. So.
Did they not sign that off?
They did, but I don't think they understood.
Ms. Tidwell, your hand's up.
That was my question, I guess. They already voted and voted on the contract, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
But sometimes the hierarchy of a union, along with the union management, does not fully communicate what happens to the lower rank and explain in detail, and that may have happened here. Ms. Sprinkle?
I thought I was told, maybe Chief said, that they were upset to think they were going to be forced into overtime. Wasn't that an issue, that they didn't want to do forced overtime? And would that not be the same if it was what they thought it was going to be?
Yeah, this has something to do with overtime, but not not that particular.
Not forced overtime.
Forced portion, yeah.
Okay.
That's not what the issue is.
Wrong kind of overtime.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Ringstead.
It's sitting there. In this note here, it says there's an increase in a doubling almost of the certifications. How many people, how often do they have to get certified?
Well, everybody's certified, so you get a certification.
Is it an annual deal? Is it a...
For the certification pay?
Yeah.
Yes, that...
So...
They get a the certification pay is given every year. Now, where they're at, if they have a basic, intermediate, or advanced certificate, depends on level of training, years of service, and that sort of thing. So, and education. Those are the three things they judge it on.
Right. So the note here says the certification pay was increased from $1,250 to $300 for intermediate and $3,000 to $4,500 for advanced. So in addition to the other things, they each get this extra $1,500 a year?
Mm-hmm. Not everyone will get it, just the people with intermediate and advanced certificates. So, like, I hold an advanced certificate. It took me 15 years before I got my advanced certificate. It took me 8 years to get my intermediate certificate. But I don't have a degree. So if
it's
you have a degree,
across,
you can get it.
It's not across the board certificate.
Correct.
It's,
right.
Oh, okay.
You have to apply for it. You have to do so many training hours, and then education plays a role in it. So if you have your master's degree, you can get all three of those in, like, 3 years. If you don't have any degree, that's the progression, 8 years and 15 years, something like that.
Mr. Clearworth.
Question for Margarita, actually. The leave liability increase of 106. When I first read that, I think I'm reading it wrong. I would think that's because of the salary increases, obviously your liability increases, but
correct.
Normally that would be included in your numbers up above.
Correct.
So what's going on there?
It could. That is just showing you the change in valuation of leave as of, and that is why it's not up top. Because if a person uses their leave instead of cashing it out, let's say, right, that it's just changing that value. That's up, you're right, it's up top. Because I can use that leave throughout the year, which is already incorporated under salary and wages and benefits, if I'm using that leave instead of cashing it out. But that value of that leave changes from once an employee receives an increase in pay, that 1 hour is going to change from $1 to $2. But that employee could take that dollar, that the increase in dollar, and use it throughout the year as a time off versus cashing it out.
So the cap on leave has not changed?
That's correct. The cap has not changed, just the value of it has changed.
Do we cash at anything above that level, we cash out automatically before the year is done? Is that
correct?
Right?
We do that on December 31, the last check. It's anything above that hours for this union, it's 600 hours is cashed out as of December 31.
And I think I'll also throw in there that I don't know how many requests you get. It's very little that anybody over there cashes out leave. They can't even keep it in their bank long enough to use it. Like,
so, and I've heard that's the trend nowadays.
Yes.
It used to not be. They would they would bank it, because as the years go by and their salaries go up, that liability to the city increases to their benefit, essentially. But if they're cashing it out, that's a benefit to the city. And we've often talked about having policies where we maybe possibly even lowering that to have people use, I mean, leaves there for a reason. It's to rest and to get rejuvenated. And that's where comp time comes into a problem, because a lot of people bankroll comp time and use that for their leave time, and the leave time remains as a liability to the city. And I've always struggled with comp time. That's my bugaboo.
They're equal opportunity users. They use both banks very
yeah,
rapidly.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? We'll move on. Next, Danny, discussion on alcohol lease license application review. Yeah, sit back down, Chief.
This was a continuation of a discussion that happened at the last work session. I don't think the council was finished with. So we put it back on this agenda in case there were more items. Just a note that at the last city council meeting, that the reports that you saw attached to those alcohol license applications and marijuana license applications were the new version of the reports produced by the police department that only contain the serious or the reported crimes that had the report or calls that had the report attached.
I'd like to thank Danny for showing this to everyone. This sort of explains it in detail how we look at it. Ms. Therian, you had a question.
Yes. I believe that Christy Meredith said that her office could reduce the number of items on our list. Did her office work on that?
The list is actually provided by the data management team.
Yeah.
From the police department side.
Oh, from the police department.
Yeah, and that's what we did for the last round. The alcohol and the marijuana. I had our DMT. As soon as we got done with the meeting last week, I went and talked to them, and so they ran just the reports that were taken at that at those addresses.
So I guess I was wondering if there was any coordination between your office and Christie's to see about working on that list. Because I know she orally said that, and she said that in emails to us as well.
As far as what?
As far as reducing or providing that information.
Ms. Therian, in the code calls for the clerk to put information out to the fire department, police department, finance department, and sometimes, depending on the circumstance, the building department.
Uh-huh.
And that's where my inquiries go for this information. It does not require the clerk or ask the clerk to check with the dispatch manager.
Okay.
So if that's a change the council would like to see, certainly can be done by ordinance.
I was just thinking that maybe because they start with her, that her office, that maybe it could, they could work together.
But we're all looking at the same data.
Right.
So the data management team is pulling the cases that FECC puts into the computer system. So they're all, what you get from us is the same thing that you would get from dispatch.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Now.
Can I follow up on that real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
Chief, did you find that the data management in it, as far as filtering that, was onerous? Did they have was it a pain in the ass to do that? Sorry.
It takes just the same amount of time.
Okay.
Right. They're just running a
different type of
query, you know, based upon the information that you guys are asking for. Whether it's they base it off the address, right? And so then they just reduce it down. There's event numbers. Anytime we get a call, it is an event number.
Okay.
If there's a case number, it means we took some kind of action on it, right? We arrested somebody. There was some theft, something like that. So that's the differentiation between the two. You were getting all the event numbers. So when you had that big list, that was all the event numbers. We pared it down. I think one of the liquor licenses, Brown Jug from last week, only had five cases on there. So instead of seeing 400, you got five.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Council, what I'd like you to do is look at item five. The council may protest the license if it determines the following conditions exist. What is not in there? Previous behaviors. It's not there. And what do we always look at? Previous behaviors. So I look at this and I say to myself, this probably hasn't been revised in a while. And maybe I should, you know, myself, Ms. Therrien, maybe Mr. Clayworth sit down and go through this and take a look and give recommendations of a potential revision of this. Because all of our questions are from previous behavior. Ms. Sprinkle.
Well, I appreciate the collection of data and all that. I think what I ran into personally was that it was either, almost to John's point, you can't be half pregnant. We weren't allowed a pause to talk in detail with a licensee. It was either you can't have a license, you can't have a license. And I think that's the frustration I personally ran into. And mm-hmm. It became a big deal that was not meant to be a big deal.
Mr. Clayworth.
I know that list that we get is long and a lot of it does not pertain to the license, but personally, I like to see it because then I can see how much activity the city is spending on that premise. Just use one of the box stores as an example. As a side note, Chief, I know we're being more proactive on shoplifting. Is that still correct? You're working with them on maybe not, okay.
Depends on what I mean by proactive. So we still have the RTP program, the retail theft program. We are attempting to get a program set up to work with the retail theft or the loss prevention officers from each of those departments. We're trying to get the box stores to provide us an employee, their employee that would work with the Fairbanks Police Department on a task force to do just that, to hit those thefts very hard. But right now, the way it works is if there's a theft at one of the stores and they catch the person, they send over the report to us. And then Corporal Wellborn was in charge of that program. He was taking all of those and filing the report. The front desk dispatcher would enter a lot of that information into the report. And then Corporal Wellborn would look at it and file the charges appropriately. So Corporal Harrison is working on that, getting up to speed on that retail theft program. We're still working with the box stores to try and come up with that solution to get somebody back or to get their employees over to work on that task force. That's kind of been a stumbling block, but Captain Werner's working on that, working with the retail stores to try and make that happen.
Yeah, I just like to see the long list and you see how much time and resource we're devoting to that and what we can do better to shorten that list. It's not just about an alcohol license. It brings information that I kind of like to see.
Mr. Marnie, then Ms. Sprinkle.
Out of your officer's day, how much time is dedicated to alcohol-related calls?
Yeah, I would say 80. I was going to say 80%, probably. Okay. Rough guess.
So this is a two-part question. Do you believe 5% sales tax is enough?
A 5% sales
tax?
What
were you currently charging?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I believe we have a 5% sales tax on alcohol.
Oh, it's only 5?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, what's tobacco?
20.
we don't deal with tobacco at all.
So do you believe 5% is adequate?
Well, it doesn't cover the cost of the cases that we work with alcohol involvement. So, I mean, it's the council's discretion, but personally, I wouldn't be opposed to it going higher.
Thank you.
Mr. Ringstead.
So make sure I'm clear on this. Of your 80 or whatever percent of your total staff, not of your total staff that you've got, 80% of the time is alcohol related?
Probably pretty close, yeah. I mean, a lot of the thefts that we go to, you know,
people get stupid when they drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think to Jerry's point, these highlight some of this, but it clearly, looking at liquor licenses doesn't address our problem. Maybe we need to address that problem.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Well, so what if we did the full list, but you can break out the alcohol as a sector, and then the rest of it can be whatever it wants. So we have the list that Jerry wants, but then I can say, okay, four of these were alcohol related.
So there is a box on, we wouldn't be, yes and no. So for the reports that we take, in the report section that the officer fills out, there is a box that says alcohol involved. So if the officers are checking that box and making sure that it's accurate, we can tell you, yeah, this case had alcohol involved. If it's just an event, the only way to be able to track that, I believe, is they can search in the notes, the note field. So when an officer goes, say, we have a disturbance at City Hall, you know, somebody's messing with the painting in the hallway. We come over and Samuel Harris is intoxicated. If the officer puts in the notes, yep, contacted Sam Harris and he was intoxicated, we may be able to run based on that keyword intoxication and pull out those event numbers. But that, again, that's going to make it, we would have to have all the officers making sure that anytime they came in contact with somebody that had alcohol on board, that we used the common phrase so that it was searchable and you got all of those. That the event numbers is probably a harder catch than the case numbers.
Ms. Therrien.
I think it's a nice idea to think about whether or not it's alcohol related, but when you look at the Fred Meyer's liquor stores where they're just taking it off the address, I don't think that helps us. If we're looking at whether to agree to keep that license or not, if there was a way to, instead of the address, but the liquor store, for example, at a Fred Meyer situation, I think that would help us quite a bit. And I know that's probably what you're working on with the loss prevention people too, but yeah, is there any way to just have it identified as the liquor store?
Again, we could do the same thing as alcohol involved for the event numbers.
Well,
you know, to be quite honest, I don't ever remember a time of going to a Fred Meyer particularly for the liquor store itself. In my career, I've never been to Fred Meyer for the liquor store. Safeway, yes. Fred Meyer, no. Walmart, no.
More core area.
Yep. And their liquor store is a little bit separate, and I don't know. Maybe it's easier to steal from Safeway than it is from Fred Meyer's.
I think that maybe the next step to do is figure out how can we slice and dice the data. I mean, we're talking about data for a completely different issue than the liquor license and the process of approving liquor licenses. But if the data, maybe we'd have a better understanding of what the job is if we could figure out different ways of looking at the data.
I've asked the city clerk in mid-March to get myself, Ms. Therrien, Mr. Cleworth together to start going through this. So expect the phone call. Ms. Sprinkle?
And I appreciate what Jerry's saying, is if we have a problem property, we should know about it. And I think that we are not meant to be the security
team. But
here's
the deal about a problem property. If you look at your code, you don't get to terminate, suspend on past practices.
I understand.
So I think that's something we have to start looking at and changing our code on, because it's not there, and that's what we always look at. Mr. Marnie.
One last question from me. Is marijuana very similar to this?
Our marijuana code was modeled after the alcohol code. There are some differences, but I think, you know, I would ask the mayor to maybe include that in the review so yeah, that both.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea, Mr. Marnie. Great idea, Madam Clerk. And we should probably have a person from the data management there.
I was just going to offer that up to you. Yeah. Probably Olivia, I would say, is probably the most knowledgeable in that system, and she could explain how they can do the different searches and what they can look for specifically. And if we need to do something from the police end, you know, we can put out a directive to the officers to make notes in a certain way. If that happens or not is another story.
Overall, council, both sitting as a council member and as a mayor, I've liked the review process we've had because we have a very defined conversation on problem properties when they come in. A very defined. And that's what we're supposed to have. But over time, you update, make it work better, and that's what we should do. Any other discussion? Seeing none, target-based budgeting. Margarita. Oh, Mike.
So
it's a team effort.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody on this row has worked on this. Target-based budgeting is something that Margarita found from the Government Finance Officers Association. And I believe your packet had the big old budget thing there. So what I did is, Sky and I did some research on this, and Mr. Ringstad came in while we were researching it, and we started trying to really get our head wrapped around this target-based budgeting thing. So then I took this and I put it into our new AI system that the city has, and had it spit out this abbreviated one pager for us, which is a little bit easier to follow. But essentially, what target-based budgeting does is it's just a slight tweak on what we already do. So with target-based budgeting, the first thing that has to happen is the city, you know, the council and the mayor and all the department heads, we all have to get together and determine what our core services are. Well, like legitimately what our core services are, what our service levels expectations are. And that becomes our baseline. After that is set, you know, like saying, hey, you know, we want, you know, it's real easy with, you know, fire because, you know, that it's the way theirs is set up, but like with police, you know, like, you know, hey, we want this many officers on. Well, we'd have to figure out how much that's going to cost. And that's something that, you know, Margarita and I, when we do the budget process already, we're already going through every line item historically and checking it out. So we've set the core service. We know that's gonna get funded, and then we've determined how much that's gonna cost. The council's, you know, agreed, would have agreed to it at that point, and then the next part is all the departments start coming up with decision packages. It's basically what it is it's add-ons to the core services that they feel are appropriate. So they would come with new things, these decision points, and they would just like normal, they'd present their budget to the mayor. They'd have all these decision points. The difference is the mayor wouldn't make any decisions on the decision points until he had heard all the decision points from all the different departments. Whereas right now, when we're meeting with a department, we're making decisions on the, you know, like in the room. So with this one, we'd hold off on making any decisions until we've seen the big picture, until we know, you know, how the whole budget's going to work, and then the mayor would make his determination on which decision points he approves, and then that would become the mayor's budget. Mayor's budget would come to you like normal. You'd hear from all the departments like normal. But rather than making decisions, you know, with the department you know, right there on the spot. You would wait on all those decision points until the very end of the budget process. And then we'd have, you know, essentially another meeting. We'd bring in all the department heads. We'd go over, you could go over all the decision points, the ones that the mayor approved, the ones that you think are appropriate. And then you'd have all the facts before you made any of the decisions. And so it'd just be a little bit of a tweak on the way that we do things now, just more of a focus on seeing the big picture before we get, sometimes we get a little lost in the weeds and we jump on stuff that, maybe isn't the thing that should get the funding.
Discussion? Mr. Ringstead, then Mr. Cleworth.
I like the concept of this. One of my frustrations in budgeting is what Mike's just been talking about. We go through the budget, we make all the decisions in that one, and then we go to the next one. And we never say, well, right now we need to spend more time on police and less time on some other department, right? And that, to me, is a primary decision-making thing we need to do so you can change from year to year and focus on where your biggest issues are at the time. And from what I understand of this, it will help us do that and prioritize. I mean, we get down to the point where we are now, excuse me, that, oh, well, gee, we hardly have any money left. Now what? You know, we should make the bigger, more critical decisions first and then get down into some of the other ones. So I like the concept of where it's going and the focus we're trying to put on it. So, I mean, I think it's worth some effort.
Ms. Therrien.
Yes, has the Finance Committee come up with any recommendations based on this, or are you just starting it?
We just looked at it last Thursday for the first time.
Ms. Therrien, it was fun. I was in there, and Ms. Bell started presenting, and I chuckled, and I looked at the Finance Committee and said, welcome to target-based budgeting. Mr. Clearworth.
Looking at the second bullet, align budgeting with strategic priorities for better resource allocation. Depending on who the mayor is, what is a strategic priority is probably going to change. When we looked at it, we went to Public Works first, and we said, how much is it going to do the basic maintenance of the city to not get behind on infrastructure? Then we built out from that. Another mayor could come along and say, no, absolutely, police is number one. If you don't have a safe city, then everything else is secondary to that. So I think it gets a little tricky because once it gets to the council level, you're going to have six different opinions of what the main priority should be. And service level expectations, I remember some long discussions on that back in the 1990s. What is an appropriate service level for a department? At what point do you say we're covering it satisfactorily? Which usually is not where any of the department heads are. They're always asking for more. So it's difficult. I'm not sure this will change totally the once it gets to the council level what happens, but it could change internally how the staff works with it, I guess. I don't know.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I think anything to make our budgeting easier will be a good idea, but to your point, Jerry, I wonder too if you know, strategic priorities is a mayor's decision. You know, the city would have voted for that mayor for whatever reasons.
Well, until it gets here.
Well, I know that, but still, the mayor is going to be the tip of the arrow. That's and right. I think as long as we're talking about this in whatever elections we have, I mean, people know we're trying to do a good job for them. I think that comes down to the person that they elect.
You know, also, I look at this, and this is, you're going to have different councils, you're going to have different mayors, but if this is the direction that we choose to move in, an astute mayor has been working with an astute council the whole year, and he knows the priorities of the city of Fairbanks. At the very end, no matter what happens, it's your budget. You get to reprioritize anything and everything. And that's what I like. It's your budget at the very end. Mr. Marnie.
So where do we go from here? Do we let the Finance Committee dwell into this more, and then it comes back to council, and then we can chew it up or chew it down?
Well, it's going to go back to Finance Committee. They're going to work on it. And then I'm going to decide if that's the way I want to do my budget. Tell you the truth.
You just said it was our budget.
Well, I said my budget. I said my budget.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go through my budget, and I'm going to give it to you for your budget. And whether it's going to happen or not, I do not know yet. But it starts with the Finance Committee, then goes to me, then goes to you.
Okay.
Mr. Ringstead.
Tom.
Hold it, Sky. Hold it, Sky. Hold it 1 second there. Sit down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she got to go.
Now,
so is there any stuff we got to do?
Everyone.
Ordinance.
Sky was the intern of the month. You know, my dad would look at me anytime I did something good and would say, you could do better. So therefore, I'm giving you an assignment. At our second work session in April, I want you to give me a one-page report on an overview of target-based budgeting. That's why she was the intern of the month. Thank you, Scott. You have a great morning.
I'll take it.
Okay.
Tom, can you, I mean, is there any, is a policy we can just do this, or do we need changes somewhere else?
You should be able to do it. Nothing comes to mind that would prevent you, but I'll take it's a great question. I'll take another look.
Any other questions before I move on? Ms. Therrien.
My same question was whether or not we'd have to change the code. So.
Marguerite's going, oh, no, oh, no. Okay, we're going to move on. Finance Committee report, Margarita.
Okay. The Finance Committee met on Thursday, February the 27th, and the first directive that the committee had from the mayor was to increase non-tax revenue by 10% in 3 years, and we had several Finance Committee members that are excited about the challenge, and we'll get started on working on some of those, trying to develop what that looks like and to come up with some suggestions. And of course, it's going to take the council approval with whatever we come up with, and whether or not you agree with some of our recommendations. So we'll see where that takes us. We reviewed the nuisance property remediation program, and we learned that Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Association received a grant to address blight and nuisance properties and things like that. So we thought we could kind of partner with them indirectly in a way, kind of address some of the, give them a list of some of the properties that we have concerns. So we're going to work that way and see what we can do to work with Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Association with the new grant that they have for that purpose. The committee members reviewed the first budget amendment. We had a discussion on encumbrances, how that impacts the internal system and what that looks like, as well as looking at reappropriations and transfers and payments from and payments, and just looking at the system overall and addressing any questions anyone had in regards to those to that topic. They also presented in starting the discussion about revenue, non-tax, increasing non-tax revenue. We first addressed expenditure-wise where we were in relationship to other municipalities. And then we started kind of a very brief listing of what I came up with some thoughts on revenues that other municipalities have that we don't have to kind of explore. Then we reviewed the target-based budgeting concept, and the finance committee wanted to be more involved in looking at the core services aspects of it, and so we'll continue to have that on our agendas moving forward as we get closer to budget seasons and looking at that. They reviewed the financial reports as of January 31, and we had a fund balance of $21.5 million. We had revenues of $7.55 million with expenditures of $5.05 million. And we had a cash flow report showing $38.9 million. So we are scheduled to meet on Thursday, March the 20th. It's a week earlier. We had a few committee members that were unable to attend on the 27th, which would be our standard fourth Thursday of the month. And we will continue discussing the challenge that the mayor gave us, as well as target-based budgeting, and continue to review the financial reports to make sure that we address anything that may be on the horizon. And join us. That's all I have.
I have a question for the most senior city council member, but the most junior member of the finance committee, Mr. Cleworth.
What you want?
Are you enjoying that committee, sir?
Oh, yeah. I enjoy numbers.
Okay. Do you believe it's a very good, active, working committee?
Yeah, I think it gives Margarita the tool she's always wanted. So, yeah, that's important.
It's not often I get the realization that the most senior is the most junior. So I had to bring that up. We'll move on. Okay. Council member comments. Mr. Cleworth.
Is the staff aware that the lights are out on in Westgate, the street lights?
They will.
Okay. They've been out for about 3 days over there. And before, there's one individual that will be paying us a visit, I'm sure, at the next council meeting. He always does when they go out. So maybe we can beat him to the gun here. That's it. Thank you.
Ms. Tidwell.
I don't have anything.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, I'm very interested in this. So I don't know if we can spend a little bit more time. This is that comparison between the city and other cities.
Oh, I don't have that. I would love to see that.
Okay. Anyway, if we could dwell into this.
What is that?
Oh, this is, I called you and left, so.
Yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Marnie called to request a copy of what we had discussed in finance on the expenditures and comparison of revenue. So I provided him with a copy of that.
We will make sure that discussion happens and analysis happens, sir. Ms. Therrien.
I'm going to be gone the 21st of March to the 27th if you want to try to do a meeting at the end of March. And I think that I know Christy was interested in working on this. Maybe she has some thoughts, too.
What golf course are you going to hit?
We're going to Laughlin, the Elks tournament.
Ms. Sprinkle, good for you.
I don't have any committees reports yet, but I do want to say that I will be, what is today? I will be in the air. I guess I don't know when our council meeting is. I'll be in the air on the 10th. And I'll be in the air on the 10th and the 17th.
Okay.
So I guess
make sure the clerk knows that, and we can try and if we have our meetings, we can try and tie you in via telephone or Zoom. Just make sure the clerk knows.
Okay.
A few weeks in advance, give her your schedule.
Is that March?
That's
next Monday.
Is that next Monday?
Yeah. Nothing on the 17th, but you would miss the March 10th meeting.
Okay. I'm like in the air flying, so that's why I was. Okay. Because I know we talked about switching them. Okay. Thank you.
Excused?
Oh, Ms. Sprinkle, Ms. Sprinkle, Ms. Sprinkle. Mr. Ringstead.
I have
yes, Ms. Therrien.
Why are we having another legislative committee meeting? Is it this week? Because we had skipped one, and I had emailed Yuri got no response, though he might have sent something in the last 2 days.
I have it on my calendar for Wednesday, tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Okay, that's what I have. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I also have a planned trip that I've brought up now, and I'll be gone Monday. I'll be in Washington, D.C., which would mean Mr. Clearworth would be running the meeting. But now, Ms. Sprinkle, you're going to be gone too, and when I brought this up, you said you'd be here for that, but you're going to be gone now. But that's okay.
Okay.
My thought is, do we want to reschedule the meeting for next Monday, and can we for the following Monday?
That would have to be done by a resolution of the council to move a meeting to move the location of a meeting. It would have to be resolution. This is so close to the meeting date. Yeah. I would almost
recommend against it.
Well, yeah, I would recommend against it.
Okay, Mr. Clearworth, you're up next Monday as mayor pro tem. You've done that before.
I've one other question. Mm-hmm. For the folks on the Legislative Affairs Committee, we learned of that bill regarding agriculture in Fairbanks, the preferential pricing is to be given to local growers as opposed to outside. And is that thing got some wheels under it? Does anybody know?
We'll look into it.
Yeah, I just see an accounting nightmare on that one for if you're a retailer to go, okay, I have to do this and do this or jump through that hoop. I don't know how they would implement that.
Sounds like government price fixing to me.
If I can.
Ms. Sprinkle?
I have a meeting at Chamber Government Relations. I could ask if you have a number.
Hey, it was in Yuri's list to us.
Did the governor come out with something on that too?
Well, he's making a
the
department of
the
governor's
trying to establish a Department of Agriculture, which also would be under, he would have the aqua marine fish farming underneath it too. So
I don't think that has anything to do with the preferential treatment. It's like on bidding. We used to do bidding, you get preferential treatment to local bidders over somebody else, but I don't think so. That's my question for the two of you on that committee. And some people look into that and see if AML has taken a position.
Ms. Therrien, you had something else?
Yes, I attend the town hall meeting for Senator Kawasaki and Representative Will Stapp. Stayed there for 2 hours. There was good discussion on lots of issues, and I made sure that I talked as an individual.
Also, there is a planned protest here today outside from 4 to 6, and I'll be out there grilling hot dogs and giving out hot dogs because I believe that engagement is a good thing and food is soothing and nice, and I've made sure all these sidewalks are cleaned and available to go. So.
On the cuts.
Yeah. You know, and yeah, I've had a few people call me up about it, and basically everyone has the right to peaceful protest, and we will ensure that that happens. Ms. Sprinkle?
Mayor, I thank you for that. I think it's really, really important right now because temperatures are high.
Yeah.
And I think you're doing a good job of engaging. Thank you.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn. Second? Any opposed? We're adjourned.